Don't change that dial. We are bold and we are number one. And it's time for
Listen Up, Jesus is on the air. And stay tuned, folks, because we want to light a fire under you today. It's as simple as that. Let Al sing for a minute.
And it fills our soul with gladness.
The reason why we're talking about lighting a fire under you, we have Barbara Samuels, who's head of a religious freedom group, Americans for Religious Freedom. And wait until you hear what she has to say. And we're just so excited that she's here.
And she's out there fighting the fight for our religious freedom. And we're so thankful that we're able to get her on the show.
And
she travels throughout the country.
Yeah.
And talking about religious freedom.
And the real reason for talking about religious freedom is, I'm going to say, the Obamacare law, even though they don't want to say that. That law is placing all of our religious freedoms ultimately at risk, that the government takes over and tells you what you must do unless you have tremendous penalties. So, Tony, I'm excited. So
today we're going to be bold. I'm excited, too, because we're finally really becoming bold. We're showing our listeners what's happening out there and with Barbara and the fight that she's fighting. And we equate her to Joan of Arc.
Well, we do.
Not burning at the stake, but we do. Equate her to Joan of
Arc. Yeah, no. We don't want to burn at the stake. You know, and we very seldom go after something like this, because we're working predominantly to bring people back to Catholic religion. And we talk about a lot of religious beliefs. But this program is essential for any person, anywhere, because it's talking about your religious freedom is at risk.
At risk. The First Amendment is at risk. And now it's time for the silent majority.
So maybe we should get
be silent.
We should get to Barbara.
Okay.
Well, Tony, since we're getting to talk about religious freedom, we have a guest today who is really moving and doing things to fight for our religious freedom.
Yeah, and she's Barbara Samuels, and she is a dynamo for religious freedom. She is a dynamo for evangelization. And you know what? We're so blessed to have her on the show. I've been trying a long time to get Barbara on the show, John.
I know, and we've got a lot of interference. Evidently, somebody doesn't
the
want
the evil one doesn't want her on. But Barbara, we got you, and I think we're doing it, and we just prayed to Jesus, and I think Jesus has just opened up the earphones. So, Barbara, thank you and welcome so much.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm so glad to speak to you and your audience today.
Oh, thank you. Good. By the way, you know, we don't want to brag, but we were told that we're the number one listenership show on WGBB.
All week long.
That more people listen to our show than any other show on WGBB. So we're so thankful and we're so prayerful and we're so grateful to Jesus for allowing us to do this job.
Did you get into this religious freedom?
Well, I was just going along, living my life, minding my own business. And all of a sudden, we started hearing in our churches about this Health and Human Services mandate. Not a law that anyone had debated and voted on, just the stroke of a pen. And with that stroke of the pen by the Secretary of Health and Human Services, the First Amendment freedom of religion, which had been a robust freedom, protecting our freedom of religion in our churches and in our communities, that freedom was badly, badly deprived. It was done very definitely, knowingly, and deliberately. Because this HHS mandate, the Health and Human Service mandate, dictates that every employer with more than 50 employees, be they a for-profit or a not-for-profit employer, must provide, as part of their health insurance, contraception, sterilization, and abortion-inducing drugs. Now, it's well known to everyone in this country that Catholics by the millions are opposed in the most basic teaching of their faith to these things, and that there are other religions and other peoples who share that belief. So this was not a surprise to this administration that this would go directly against the freedom of religion, the First Amendment right, that had been enjoyed by millions of Americans for the 221 years since our Bill of Rights was added to our Constitution. Now, the Constitution guaranteed freedom of religion, but our founders added our First Amendment, and the first thing in that First Amendment is freedom of religion, and they added that to make doubly sure that Americans would enjoy freedom to practice their religion, not just inside the four walls of their church, but out in their community as well. So here I am, minding my own business, going about my retired life very happily. But when I heard this and I read what the USCCB had to say about the mandate, and I heard fellow Catholics after Mass talking about this mandate and what could we do, and the import of that mandate for our Catholic schools, our universities, our hospitals, and our charities, I was hearing all this, and I just felt that I had to do something. So I began talking with friends, and we began talking about how can the average Catholic, the average layperson, have an effect on fighting this kind of incursion on every American's First Amendment right. And it was a long process, but we came up with the concept of parish groups, not just in Catholic churches, but in every church in America, because this is every American's freedom of religion. So we came up with the concept of groups in churches, groups of lay people, who will, on a nonpartisan basis, educate about America's First Amendment freedom of religion and advocate for that First Amendment freedom, that we would do it on, as I said, a nonpartisan basis, that we would be a permanent ministry in the churches, and that we would be ecumenical in that once we started in one church, we encourage that church to reach out to the other faith communities around them and invite them to join in the effort to protect everyone's First Amendment freedom of religion. And the reason that we knew that these ministries had to be permanent is because we know that in this world, the threats to religion, the threats to our belief in God, the threats to freedom of religion will go on forever, because there are always people who will want to remove the freedom of religion from other people. This is in our history. This is why our founders knew that they had to provide for us such strong protections for our freedom of conscience, our freedom of religion. So this is how this got started. It became Catholics for Freedom of Religion, although our incorporation as a 501c3, and, you know, you've got to kind of chuckle at that with what has been going on. But anyway, our incorporation as a 501c3 is under the title Americans for Freedom of Religion. And then we have groups under that, Catholics for Freedom of Religion, which has been 99% of our focus to get started. But we will have Jews for Freedom of Religion, Evangelicals for Freedom of Religion, etc., all as subgroups under Americans for Freedom of Religion.
Now, Barbara, so, can I interrupt a minute? This mandate, just to clear the air with the listeners, this mandate is part and parcel from Obamacare, isn't it? Isn't it the package of Obamacare?
The mandate came out of Obamacare, yes, in the requirements, the basic requirements of the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, that insurance must cover this basic health package, and they consider this to be part of that basic health package. Now, mind you, this was never in the law as it was originally passed, and there was a fuss and a fury about, oh, would people be required to pay for abortions? And President Obama assured America that no, Americans would not be required to pay for abortions, that abortions would not be all-inclusive, et cetera. And then, lo and behold, not many months later, the Health and Human Service Secretary issued this, which has the full backing of law and of the government. And, yes, so now it's part of the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act.
So I'm confused, Barbara. I'm well familiar with the First Amendment, and I'm confused why it wasn't declared unconstitutional when it was proposed. Do you have any insight on that?
Well, it seems on its face to be absolutely unconstitutional. However, we're in a political situation where no one has chosen to do that, to call it out as unconstitutional and to stop it from happening. So there would be a very political answer to your question.
Well, they went to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And who was it? The Chief John Roberts, is that his name? He cast the positive vote on the basis of it's a tax, and the government has a right to issue a tax. This is after they went through a lot of processes in advance, making sure it wasn't a tax, because they didn't want to be associated with a tax law or a tax increase. You know? So
absolutely. Yes, and that was political maneuvering. And in Catholic for Freedom of Religion, we have a mindset and a mission where we don't get into specific politicians or parties. Just to orient you to what we do and your listeners also, we will never talk about specific candidates and specific parties. What we will talk about is legislation and regulations that are either enacted or proposed that attack our First Amendment freedom of religion. So specifically, the Health and Human Services mandate, which came out as a result of the, you can call it either, its full name is the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. No one calls it that. People will call it the Affordable Care Act, or they will call it Obamacare. We call it the Affordable Care Act or the new health care law. Just because we don't bring politicians' names in if we don't have to. And the reason is that we're focused on First Amendment freedom of religion for all Americans, and we will oppose any legislation from any party that infringes upon First Amendment freedom of religion. So that being said, where the Supreme Court comes into play now with the Health and Human Services mandate is there are 64 lawsuits that have been brought against Health and Human Services over this mandate. Roughly half of them are from for-profit businesses and half are from non-profit businesses. For example, the Archdiocese of New York is part of a lawsuit. They have their lawsuit, and the Diocese of Rockville Center is part of that lawsuit against the HHS mandate. Now, these lawsuits, especially the religious organization, the not-for-profit lawsuits, are mostly languishing in the courts because the government attorneys have managed to convince most judges that no damage has been done as of this point to these not-for-profit religious organizations. However, there have been a few that have gone forward, very few, and New York was one of the fortunate ones because the judge in New York said to the government lawyers, he said, you promised this country that there would be a change to this law, that it would not go into effect the way it was written. You have been promising that for months. You have not carried through with that. So he gave them a deadline that they must write this accommodation that had been promised to religious employers. Mm-hmm. So the government did in February, they came out with their final accommodation, and now that is part of the final rule. When they came out with the accommodation, Cardinal Dolan, the USCCB, everyone was very hopeful that that accommodation would restore the right of conscience to all Americans. It, in fact, did not.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, in some ways, it made it worse.
Barbara, I was just wondering, breaking this down in simpler terms, how is this affecting our religious freedom? How is this affecting our listeners? What should our listeners do, and how should they react towards this amendment of some sort?
You take those questions one at a time.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sorry for bombarding, but all these things are going through my mind as you're talking, and I'm just wondering, how can we really clarify it for our listeners so that it's broken down into its simplest terms and how it's going to affect their daily religious life?
Okay, I'm glad you interrupted and asked me that question, because I think I warned you when you invited me to be on the show that I live this almost 24 hours a day.
I know. You're so
you
wonderful.
Have to stop me and redirect me. So the first thing, how does this affect your listeners' freedom of religion?
Yes.
Okay. So far, they don't see any effect on their freedom of religion. And that's what makes it so dangerous, because it will come all at once.
Yes.
And how does it affect their freedom of religion? It is a dictate from an agency within our government. It is a dictate as to what is going to happen as of January 1st, 2014, to your right to practice your freedom of conscience. And they are denying that right.
And that's because of abortion and contraception.
Yes, and sterilization.
And also for the elderly.
Oh,
in terms of their care that they will get.
Oh.
Now you're getting into another area of the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act.
That's because I'm elderly.
That's because we're elderly.
as am I, and as are about 70 million Americans.
Yes. Yeah. And you know what? I think that's where we're amiss with telling Americans what's in store for them and down the road.
Yes. Because people would say, if they want an abortion, let them get an abortion. But what the government's saying, you're a Catholic institution, and you're under our mandates. However, we know you don't like abortion, and you don't like contraception, and you don't like any of the things that would violate your conscience. You still have to do them.
Yeah, but what bothers me, Barbara, is that this is just the very beginning of what could happen and what could be ahead. I have in mind, and it always flashes back to me about France, when they tried to suppress religious freedom, and they brought religious nuns and priests to the gallows by the herds in wagons and chopped their heads off and stuff like that. That's extreme. But you know what? I just pray that we're not on that road.
Well, you know what? Let me simplify this for all of us a little bit. We all know that freedom of speech in this country, another First Amendment right, if it is denied to one person, it is denied to all. So that's why we protect even the most heinous speech that we find offensive, because in doing that, we protect First Amendment freedom of speech for all. It's the same for freedom of religion. Whether it be the freedom of religion of one American or the freedom of religion of 70 million Americans, it's the same thing. When you take it from one, now you've taken it from all. So by doing this mandate, we have been put on notice in this country. Every American of every faith or of no faith has been put on notice that your First Amendment no longer protects your freedom of religion. It is gone.
Absolutely.
It is gone.
Absolutely.
So, and the ramifications of that regarding requiring abortions be provided, requiring doctors and nurses with conscience objection participate in abortions or lose their licenses. It can mean that hospitals that refuse to provide abortions lose their licenses. It can mean that doctors who treat the elderly are required to prescribe certain treatments, such as terminal sedation, that is against their conscience, but they are required to do that or they will lose their license. The ramifications of this denial, this destruction of America's First Amendment freedom of religion is so far-reaching that every American should be on the rampage, letting their congressmen know, educating themselves, their family, their neighbors, sometimes their pastors, educating them about what this means, about the import of this. But meanwhile, because we can still go to church on Sunday, to our Lutheran church, our Catholic church, we can go to our synagogue, because we can still worship in our churches as we did, we have our blinders on. But the camel has more than his nose under the tent, as they say.
Absolutely,
the camel
Barbara,
is
absolutely.
Within the tent.
Absolutely. And you know what? I pray to have this program become bold. And with you on it, I think my prayer is being answered, because it's time that America woke up, and it's time that the silent majority doesn't remain silent. And I'm so grateful for what you're doing here. Really am, Barbara. What are you hoping to accomplish, by the way?
Okay. What we are hoping to accomplish, we have a modest goal. the founders, the basic founding members, and that is on Long Island, and we're all on Long Island. That's Eileen Wolfe and Pat Flynn and Carol Walters and Linda Descala, different people around Long Island. We even allow some men to help us with this. So we have Jack Mulderic, and we have Bill Lynch and Peter Murphy. What we hope to accomplish is very modest. We hope to have within every church in the United States of America a ministry to preserve First Amendment freedom of religion for all Americans. And we hope it to go on for every generation, so that in every church in America, there will be a force, a determined force for freedom of religion in this country, so that no politician would ever dare again to try to destroy our freedom of religion as is being done to us now. So that's a modest goal, we know.
No, it's modest. But,
Barbara, we have a sleeping army that can easily be mobilized if they get the right information.
And you're the information. That's, by the way, you read my mind, John. How can people...
It was blank.
Thanks. See how much he loves me, Barbara.
I can see that. It's obvious. Yeah.
Barbara, there are people out there that feel this way. They feel strong. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to turn. I think you're the option. How can they do anything? Can they contact you? Can they join your army? Can they help mobilize other people to bring this movement forward more and more?
Well, that's exactly what we envisioned when we started this. And
so then let's do it, Barbara.
People,
give them your information.
Here we go. Are you ready?
Yeah,
ready?
Go ahead.
Okay. All right. People who want to contact us, first of all, can call us at 631-896-8331. And I trust that you gentlemen will repeat that number in the future.
You should repeat it now. Repeat it now.
While
listeners go get a pen and paper.
I will. Okay. I will do that. They can call us. And by the way, when they call us, they'll get a recording, and they'll leave a message and their phone number, and then we'll call them back.
Okay.
Because this is the phone we use just for this purpose. And the number is 631-896-8331. So people can call us on that number.
And you have a website, too, don't you?
The other way they can contact us is through our website. The website is catholicsforfreedomofreligion.org.
Catholicsforfreedomofreligion.org.
Yes.
Now, I envision, and I don't know if this is your part of your mission statement, but I envision small units forming in all the parishes throughout...
That's
The United States. Yes. Is that a concept in your mission statement?
That is the concept. And let me just tell you another thing that your listeners can do to find out more about us. The Religious Freedom Rally that we co-sponsored with the Diocese of Rockville Center on June 29th as part of the Fortnight for Freedom.
Right.
That was recorded by Telecare TV.
I saw it.
So people can go at any time to watch it. They can go to telecaretv.org, and they can see the rally there,
mm-hmm.
the whole thing. And they will be amazed at a couple of things. Bishop Murphy gave a stunning speech
Absolutely.
About freedom of religion. And then also we had students from Chaminade High School.
That
and
was so impressive.
They were wonderful.
Yeah.
And then we had the winners, the students who won our speech contest. Did you hear them also?
Yes, I did. And they, you know what? I was amazed of the maturity of those high school mm-hmm. students and the maturity mm-hmm. and the deep depth of their thinking about mm-hmm. religion. I was, and you know what, Barbara? In their talks, they did do talks. It was obvious to me of their admiration for you. Because they mentioned you many times in their talks, so
I can't really say that I remember that part of it. But
I will take my word.
Yes,
and
the one student who read her speech is a 10th grader, Megan
yeah.
McCarthy, and she just floored everyone. She was so phenomenal with what she had to say and the way she delivered it. And the other two students whose names don't come to me right now. Were 8th graders.
Right.
And I thought to myself as they were reading their speeches, if I were an 8th grader, could I stand up in front of 900 people and even find my voice? But these students did it. They were remarkable.
Because they were hit with the Holy Spirit. And you know
yes.
what? I think there's a lot of students out there that think like that. There's a lot of people. They just don't know what to do. They're just standing by waiting to see what's going to happen. But you're the happening. You're making
well,
it happen. So,
well, I'll
and I want to add one little thing. This is not just health and human services. This is the Department of Defense that has come out with a memo naming extremist groups in the United States. On the left, it's Al Qaeda. On the right, it's Catholics and evangelists.
Very true.
Period.
John. Yeah, very, very good point, John. Very good point.
So we're really at war, if you think about it.
Yes, we are. Well, as part of, I spoke on Tuesday night out at the Shrine of Our Lady of the Island
sure.
because there were representatives there from 7 parishes who are starting Catholics for Freedom of Religion groups. And I brought with me that evening the Catholic League's 2012 report on incursions on religious freedom. And it's a whole book. Full of just the kind of thing that you're talking about. And then there's another book that came out by the Family Research Council, the same thing, Religious Hostilities in America, and you just read through. For example, in one case it talks about a middle school student was picked up physically off of his chair in the cafeteria by the school principal and berated for praying before he ate his lunch. And these books are full of these instances. And what's going on with the military, then, is no surprise when you read all the other things that are happening yearly,
Absolutely.
Daily, monthly.
And the chaplains.
That are incursions.
Yeah,
yes.
The military chaplains being forbidden to do certain things and to praise Jesus. And all. This is just the beginning, Barbara. I think this
yes.
is, it needs to be stopped.
And you know what? It's not truly the beginning. When I started reading about the HHS mandate, I thought it was the beginning. No, it's not. My daughter once said to me, change happens slowly, 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 and then all at once. And that's what has happened here.
Yeah.
But when you look back, these incursions and the degradation of respect for religion, especially for the Catholic religion in this country, but that degradation started decades ago. And it has slowly, slowly, like that camel, edged its nose under the tent. So that now we're seeing the change that's happening all at once. And it is a blow to the solar plexus of religious freedom that this Health and Human Services mandate could even be conceptualized, let alone signed into law.
Yeah. And, you know, Barbara, it needs to be said. What you're saying needs to be said. And as I said, the silent majority can't no longer remain silent. It needs to be spoken out.
So, like, therefore, we're calling to our listeners. Number one, if you want a copy of the show, write to us, email us. And we'll get it for you. You can give the email later.
Listen up 1240 at AOL.com.
Listen up 1240 at AOL.com. And secondly, go to your pastors and make sure that there's a beginning of a committee in your parish. We cannot stand by idly while our religion is being smothered.
We have to do it.
It's a call to action.
We don't want a repeat of France, that I can guarantee you. And it'll happen if we don't do something about it. And Barbara, if someone wants to start a little satellite of religious freedom in their parish, they call you. Do you guide them on how to do it and what to do? Or is there a formal procedure that's followed? Or how's that work?
The way we have this set up is, people can call us. We'll help them every step of the way. We have the most wonderful volunteers on Long Island. This has gone from being two or three people with an idea to being 40, 50, 60 people who are very involved in running these groups. And the wonderful thing is, they'll help everyone else.
Oh, that's wonderful. So, there's another point I just wanted to bring up. I don't mean to interrupt you, but at the beginning of the show...
He really does mean to interrupt you. I don't know how to tell you this. He does it all the time. Go
ahead. Bob, I learned this from Palmer. He used to be the great interrupter until I overtook him.
Go ahead with your interruption.
I noticed at the beginning of the show that you're a nonprofit, C3, right? And
yes.
So that means that anyone that contributes to this organization can take it off their taxes. It's tax deductible. Is that correct?
Yes. That's what it means. Exactly.
Go ahead. You talk a little bit about that.
Okay. So, and as I had said to you early on, if you want to get a word in edgewise on your show, you will have to continue to interrupt me.
You don't have to tell us that. One time he put tape over my mouth so I wouldn't interrupt you.
Barbara, you should have been there. I had the engineer. I asked him to get me duct tape and tape his mouth.
Oh, no. Duct tape, that's serious stuff. Oh, well, I'm glad I'm on the phone and I'm not in the same room with you. I wouldn't like that.
We're good friends. We're really very good friends. We play this game back and forth.
We love one another.
I need to have you give the phone number again twice. Slowly,
yes.
So people can get in touch with you.
Absolutely. The phone number to reach Catholic for Freedom of Religion is 631-896-8331. And I'm going to repeat that.
Good.
It's 631-896-8331.
And the website?
That's a long website. CatholicsForFreedomOfReligion.org.
Okay.
Barbara, we're going to have to stop, but we want to thank you for being with us.
You're so wonderful, Barbara. I do want to make a statement.
Wait a minute. Here comes a statement.
I do want to make a quick statement.
He's standing on the table with his arms outstretched.
My statement is so simple. It's to my listeners, our listeners, John's listeners and our listeners, to listen up, Jesus on the air. The reason why we were so determined to have Barbara on our show is to sort of like wake up the silent majority, let them know that their religious freedom is at stake, but also to let them know that Barbara's not doing this for herself. She's not doing it just for her family. She's doing this for all of us. Whatever she does, we're going to reap the benefits of it to continue our religious freedom. So I just want to wake the listeners up. and let them know that we need to join the army of religion, and we need to join Jesus' army and Mary's army and stand alongside Barbara, and if this is a battle, then to fight the battle and to let everyone know that religious freedom will stand forever.
You know, I don't want him to have the last word. So, Barbara, do you have
I don't want either of you to have the last word. I would like to have the last
word. That's just what I was going to say. I want you to...
We're some combination. We're going to do... We
go ahead. Do,
how would you like to do the show?
I'll put my hand over his mouth. Go ahead.
Go ahead, yes, Barbara.
Yes. Okay, I just wanted to say we have events coming up all the time. We just had in Huntington, the St. Patrick's Catholic for Freedom of Religion on Monday had a wonderful event about the Health and Human Services mandate. 138 people came on a lovely summer's evening to hear the details of this. It was a wonderful evening. We will provide that same presentation to any church, any parish that wants it. They just have to call us. Come and explain, laity to laity, what the Health and Human Services mandate is about, what it means, how it could mean fines of $300,000 a day to St. Francis Hospital, for example, how it could mean fines of $530,000 each day to Notre Dame University at $100 per day per employee for non-conforming to the mandate. So we have that event, and then we have another event coming up September 10th, which is in the distance, but people will want to put this on their calendar, at St. James Church in Setauket. We're having an amazing speaker come. She travels around the country speaking about the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and she spoke on Long Island last year at several of our church groups on freedom of religion, and people go away from her presentation so moved and so educated that people are still talking about it. Her name is Chris Ann Hall, and I can give you guys more information in your next shows about that evening. I can give you more specific details to get out to your listeners. They will be glad that they went. She's going to be three places, in Setauket, in West Islip, and in Freeport at three Catholic churches.
Oh, that's wonderful. Wow.
There's one thing you may not know. There's a group coming into Long Island on September 7th at Kellenberg High School. It's called Shalom Media. And what they are doing is they're starting an international Catholic charismatic television network. And I believe if you would come that day yourself, we could introduce you to the people who are in charge, and perhaps your movement might easily have a show on that international network. It's going to begin in January 2014. I just figured I'd offer that to you.
And they're throughout the world. It's a worldwide TV network that they're establishing. The only thing is they don't have a radio station yet, and...
You're working on that.
We're working on that with them.
And they're also approved by Cardinal Dolan.
Yeah. So
wonderful, wonderful. We would certainly be interested in helping with that and joining forces in any way we can. Amen. As a matter of fact, Kellenberg High School has been so wonderful with Catholics for Freedom of Religion. We have been talking with them about implementing a curriculum in the high schools to teach freedom of religion to high school students.
Wonderful.
And also we're hoping to start in that high school in the fall the St. Thomas More Student Society for Religious Freedom and get our students involved. And we hope that that society, once it takes root, will go through every Catholic high school in the United States. We already have interest in New Jersey and in Indiana in both the curriculum and in the St. Thomas More, who is the patron saint of religious freedom, in the St. Thomas More Student Society for Religious Freedom.
You know, I studied St. Thomas More very well. I was going to do him on today's show. I was going to talk about St. Thomas More. But then I decided to talk about Joan of Arc. But
Why don't you do that now? Would you mind hanging on while he talks about, because we're going to run out of time. And I know how Tony is. You know, he has to have the saint here, you know. And it's good. It's an important piece of the show.
Saint, there is a prayer to Joan of Arc, for religious freedom. So Joan of Arc, as you know, does truly exemplify religious freedom. She was an ordinary French country girl, about 13 years old, and she was at home in her garden when the local church bell began to ring. It was then that she first heard the voices. They seemed to come from a blaze of light. At first, she was frightened. Then she became convinced that they were angels' voices. One was the Archangel Michael. Another one, believe it or not, was St. Catherine of Siena. And the Archangel seemed to be saying that she must become a soldier and help win the war against the English. A soldier, just like you've been called, Barbara. The King of England had died, but his son Charles had not yet been crowned. He was still called Charles, and he hasn't much of an idea how to defend the English. Years before, they had invaded northern France and were ruling it as it was their own country. Whenever the church bell rang, young Joan heard those voices. Again and again, Saint Michael seemed to speak to her. So did other voices, whom she believed to be, as I mentioned, Saint Catherine and Saint Margaret. But what a farmer's daughter to do about winning a war. How can one single person win a war? After all, she was young, inexperienced, and a female. So she did nothing. Time passed, but the voices did not stop. She told her priest and some friends about her. Some believed her, most did not. However, the more she heard the voices, the more she became convinced that she was not only a young girl, she was not only a woman, but she was being called to be a soldier of God. Finally, she got that opportunity. She was away from home, staying with her aunt. One day, she managed to slip away and see the local nobleman. "My name is Joan," she said. "I come from the village Domini, and I have been sold to save France from the English. So please, will you give me a soldier's clothing and a horse and help me get to the king?" Who sent you?" he said. She replied, "Another king sent me, the King of Heaven." "What?" he says. "Why on earth should I believe you?" he replied. "Because our army is about to be defeated." Soon after, news came out that the defeat came true. He was impressed. He arranged for Joan to go there. It would not be an easy journey, for the countryside was full of robbers and rough soldiers. So Joan had her hair cut. She wore a young man's tunic and given two soldiers to act as her guardians. The deceased king's son stayed in the castle, but arranged a trick to discover what sort of person Joan was. A crowd of curious gathered in a room. One of the noblemen pretended to be the dolphin, while Charles hid behind the crowd. Joan went straight to him and started to persuade him she could rescue the city of Orleans. It was by the English, and part of the French army was trapped inside the walls. He agreed. She could try it. She was given a suit of white soldiers' clothing and a banner on which was written, "For Jesus and Mary." When she reached Orleans, she met the commander of the part of the French army that was not trapped in the city. The commander explained an English army was surrounding the city on the fort side of the river. Thus, the French soldiers could not be rescued from the city. "Simple," said Joan. "We got boats. Cross the ocean and save them. The wind is blowing the wrong way. We will get across." "Is that all?" he said. "I will go to church and pray that the wind will change directions." When she returned, the wind indeed had changed. The boats crossed the river, and two parts of the French army were able to link up and save Orleans. Under her leadership, the French had more victories than the English. At last, it was time for the Dauphin to be crowned the King of France. The coronation took place in the cathedral. Joan herself was standing just behind the throne, dressed in her soldier's clothing. Many questions, why a peasant girl should stand in such an important spot, but nobody dared to object. After all, without her leadership, there would have been no victories and no coronation. She went on and on until finally she was arrested. And she was asked to give up her religion. And she refused. And the short of the long of the story was that she was burnt at the stake. And while they were lighting the fire, someone handed her a cross, a small little cross, which she held close to her heart while the fire was burning, and she was burnt to the stake for her religion, for her dedication, for being a soldier of God. That's the short story, and I cut it a little bit short, but I would like to go into that prayer.
Read the prayer, because Joan of Arc is not unlike what you're doing, Barbara. And you may not be Joan of Arc, and we certainly don't want you burned at the stake.
That's for sure. But you know what? You're fighting the fight for God.
You're leading it. Thank God.
Okay.
Here's her prayer for religious freedom.
Prayer to Joan of Arc for our nation. Dear St. Joan of Arc, you who led the armies of France to victory when called by God, save your land from the domination of the foreign aggressors. We call upon you now that the courage and strength you showed in rallying the French troops may inspire courage and strength in the people of the United States to oppose any and all attempts to undermine our democracy and erode our liberties as a free people and our First Amendment rights. Please, St. Joan of Arc, invoke the assistance of the holy ones whom God sent to call you to action, St. Margaret, St. Catherine, and the Archangel Michael. With your intercession and the prayers of these saints, may the Holy Spirit pour forth on our people the gift of wisdom and knowledge of truth, that the leaders we choose will serve the sacred cause of life, freedom of conscience, and deliverance of our country from the prevailing forces of death, darkness, and lies. We thank you for hearing our prayer, and we beg you to inspire us to the warriors in defense of life, light, and justice as the saint of God inspired you so long ago. Thank you, St. Joan of Arc.
And you know, we need a rallying cry. And I have a song that I picked out. And maybe you can hear it coming, but you will hear it. Hail Jesus, you're our King. We always manage to pray for something on each prayer. Would you join us as we offer prayer for the success of what you are doing. Jesus, we place ourselves in your presence, and we ask you, Lord, bless Barbara and all the volunteers who are working diligently behind the scenes for your will to be done and for our religious freedom to be protected. We know, Lord, like Joan of Arc, little peasants can change the world through the power of prayer and through power of being inspired to be dedicated to fight the enemy who wishes to bring down your kingdom here in this world. We know your kingdom resides in us, Lord, and we're asking you, drop a bomb in our kingdom inside of each person, each listener, and tell them, get up off their fannies and get out and do something. This is really a critical time. And Lord, that's my prayer. Tony, you got one?
Yeah, I have a prayer, Lord. Lord, thank you for Barbara. Lord, thank you for showing us that one single person is able to get things going and to start an army on your behalf. Just like Joan of Arc, a simple young teenage girl was able to defeat the enemy. And just like Barbara was able to establish an army on your behalf, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you. And we know that with you, nothing is impossible. Nothing. So we just ask that this movement continue, this love for religion continue to grow, this love for religious freedom continues to grow, and allow no one to take away what our forefathers gave us.
How about you, Barbara? Do you have something you would like to add in prayer?
Yes, I do. When people say to me, I'm just one person, what can I do? We have an answer, and we say it. We say this prayer at our groups. It says, I am one American. I strive to be an American patriot. Sometimes, Lord, I feel alone and discouraged. Sometimes the work of defending my country is too hard, and I am not adequate to the task. I pray that you, Lord, who inspired America's founding fathers, who strengthen our soldier sons and daughters, who bless this country to the good of its citizens and the world, would open my eyes to the light of your truth, that you ask nothing of me without giving me the way, that you put nothing before me without giving me the strength, that I need only open my heart to your love and your will. In God, America does trust, and on God I can rely. I am strong enough. He has made me so. I am wise enough. He has made me so. If he is with me, who can stand against me? So I will stand as the American patriot he guides me to be. Amen.
Amen.
Beautiful, Barbara.
And Barbara, you're such a wonderful guest. We're going to have to get you back another time. Maybe the next time we'll do it in the studio so we don't have any technical problems.
Barbara promises you're going to come back on our show.
I will come back as long as you promise me there will be no rolls of duct tape in the studio.
I promise, Barbara. I promise with my heart.
And you know, you talked about God's love, and I'd like to end the program with the power of God's love.
And we want you to know we love you, Barbara, and we love our audience. Thank you so much.
You should see me holding the iPad up.
Yeah, you should have seen him dancing on the table when we were playing that other song.
Lord, I've come to know.